Welcome to the Smartphone Generation. In this podcast, let's explore how our reading and writing habits are evolving in the age of texting, memes, and 280-character limits. I wanted to determine if texting is killing language, or is it creating a new one? This was a question I researched back in 2015 for my bachelor's in communication studies, and wanted to evaluate again 10 years later. Does the research indicate that anything has changed over the past decade? Here's a stat that might surprise you. Back in 2012, the Pew Research Center found that teens sent an average of 60 messages per day. That's over 1,800 a month, and it jumps to 100 a day for teens between 14 and 17. That was before Snapchat, Instagram DMs, TikTok comments, and WhatsApp were dominant as they are now. So what's that number today, 13 years later? Likely much, much higher. If our students are reading and writing all day long, but not in the traditional sense, what does that mean for education, for literacy, and for how we define what it means to be a good communicator? Let's take a quick tour through the history of how we got here. First, there were handwritten letters, thoughtful, formal, and slow. Writing a letter required planning, penmanship, and patience. Then came email, which is faster, but still holds on to many formal conventions. You have to create a subject, greet the recipient, use punctuation, and sign off politely. But the real shift? That came with the arrival of SMS, or short message service, and this is where it gets really interesting. In the 1980s, a German engineer named Friedhelm Hillebrand was trying to figure out the perfect length for a mobile message. As part of a GSM committee, he sat down with a typewriter and started tapping out sentences, questions, statements, bits of conversation. He noticed that almost all of them were under 160 characters. He also analyzed postcards and telegrams, some of them the most concise written forms of their time, and he found the same pattern. Most messages people naturally wrote fit within that 160-character window. So when the first SMS standard was created, 160 characters was chosen as the limit, not because of technical constraints, but because of how people already communicated. A study in Frontiers in Communication pointed out that these character constraints shaped not just the form of our messages, but they actually changed the shape of our thinking while we compose them. Every word has to count. Every letter matters. And then came Twitter, or rather X, formerly Twitter. It took the SMS model and moved it to the web, capping tweets at 140 characters. People mastered the art of saying something witty, insightful, or emotional in a single sentence. A 2019 study in Nature found that despite the longer limit, most tweets still hovered under 140 characters. We've learned to write small and think fast. And don't forget the broader context. Smartphones became ubiquitous. Life has sped up, and people have begun to crave instant visual communication. The kind that emojis, memes, and microvideos can provide. Now, let's contrast that with what happens in school. In traditional classrooms, writing usually means structured forms. The five-paragraph essay, the persuasive report, or the dreaded literary analysis. These are valuable, of course. They teach logic, clarity, and argumentation. But outside the classroom, young people are writing all the time, just not in those formats. They're responding to texts, commenting on TikToks, remixing memes, reacting with emojis, and captioning Instagram stories. This form of communication is not inferior. It's just different. Take memes, for example. According to the Journal of Computer-Mediated Communication, memes are like mini cultural artifacts. One popular image might be used to communicate sarcasm, solidarity, critique, or joy, depending on the context and caption. Or consider emojis. A 2021 study in computers and human behavior shows that emojis help fill the emotional gap in text communication. A simple crying emoji or upside-down smiley face can signal tone, soften criticism, or build connection. They work like facial expressions or vocal inflection, something a plain sentence can't always do. So, when students use visual cues in their writing, they're not dumbing it down. They're layering in meaning. So why has this style of communication become so dominant? Because it fits the needs of the moment, especially for today's youth. According to a 2024 American Psychological Association report, U.S. teens are spending about 5 hours a day on social media. And that time is heavily censored around communicating, sharing, reacting, tagging, and commenting. Platforms like TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube aren't just entertainment. They're where identity is shaped, friendships are being built, relationships are forming, and opinions are shared. Memes become inside jokes, emojis soften awkward conversations, and GIFs, they speak volumes. And let's not forget the political and social impact. A 2022 study in telematics and informatics found that social media is a powerful tool for civic engagement. Think about movements like Black Lives Matter. Many were amplified and organized through youth-created digital content. This is literacy as activism, writing as empowerment. So where does this leave us as educators? It means our definition of literacy has to expand. According to the Reading Teacher, literacy today goes beyond just print. It's multimodal. It includes emojis, images, GIFs, hashtags, and hyperlinks, even audio and visual elements. That's how people are actually reading and writing in their daily lives today. And if we want to meet our students where they are, we need to teach digital rhetoric. How do you write differently for TikTok than for a book report? How do you signal tone and emotion in a meme? How do you tailor your message for an audience that's scrolling too fast? Harvard's Guide to Teaching Audience and Purpose, which was originally designed for essays, can easily be adapted for social media writing because the core skill is the same. Understand your reader. So what if we reimagined classroom writing? In English, instead of just a formal character analysis, students could create a meme that captures a character's motivation, rewrite a scene from Macbeth as a Twitter thread, breaking down key plot twists with emojis and hashtags. In math, students could make a TikTok explaining the Pythagorean theorem using emotion graphics or props, or use a meme to express the feeling of solving for X. In science, imagine a lesson on genetics. Students could storyboard a DNA replication, creating a GIF using slides and captions. In geography, they could create a series of memes about natural disasters, climate change, or urbanization. Design an interactive map captioned like a social media story, narrating human migration routes or conflict zones. These aren't just gimmicks. They're invitations to engagement, and they build transferable communication skills, brevity, clarity, and emotional intelligence. But of course, this raises a question we all feel. How do we balance this with teaching traditional writing? We still need to teach essays, analytical thinking, citations, and coherence. That's not going away. But we also need to validate and develop the new literacies students are already fluent in, because in many ways, these are the languages of the real world. Of course, there's a tension here. We still need to teach formal writing, but we can validate these new literacies through exploration. We can show students that both styles, an academic essay and a clever meme require thought, structure, and skill. So one last time, I ask, is texting killing language? No, it's just evolving it. We are witnessing the birth of a new literacy, faster, more visual, more interactive. And our job as educators isn't to resist it, it's to understand it, to teach it, and help students use it powerfully and ethically. Thanks for listening to The Smartphone Generation. This podcast was created by Nick Senkarat for the Masters of Educational Technology program at the University of British Columbia. Music and sound effects are used with permission from CapCut, and all citations and references can be found in the bibliography presented below.